This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number 395-1450. This morning we're going to talk about our local museum. And boy, do we have a crowd in the studio to tell us about it this morning. We have Wendy Van Workum, the Education Coordinator, and Taylor Weiss Hawthorne, Museum and Gallery Manager. And we have Marjorie Bornman with us this morning, who is... what are you doing here, Marjorie?
I'm a volunteer.
You're a volunteer. Okay. That was nice you could come in this morning.
Yes, it is.
Yes. What are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, the reason I kind of asked Marjorie to come in today, because the museum is actively recruiting for our docent position.
Okay.
So we have docents at both the museum and at our historic sites, the Capon House and the Sellers House. And a docent is basically, it's a fancy word for a tour guide.
Yeah.
And our docents are awesome. And they come in, we have docents in all the time, and they come in and they greet visitors. They tell them a little bit about what they're going to see. They answer questions. Depending on how busy the day is, they might, you know, be a little more hands-on and give a little bit more tours. But they get to greet visitors literally from all over the world. Talk about their, obviously, the local community, their museum, and it's just a really fun position. And one of the positions we're really wanting to get more docents for is for our historic houses. And so I asked Marjorie to come in because Marjorie's been a docent at the museum for a while now, but just this past year she started volunteering as a docent over at the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her if she would come in and talk a little bit more about kind of her experience and why she is a docent and then why she wanted to kind of go over to the houses and her experience and things.
Okay.
Like that.
Well, how different is it at the houses?
From the museum?
Yeah.
It's a bit different. At the Capon House and the Settler's House, you do give guided tours. It's not like the museum where people come in and can browse.
Yeah.
But it's also so much fun because they are such treasures for our community. And people are just amazed when they see these houses and how they've been restored to 1900 for the Capon House and 1864 for the Settler's House. Everybody finds something they can identify with. Even at that, you know, from 1900, they'll see something that, oh, you know, I've seen this before, something like this. And even the laundry equipment in the basement, people remember some of those things. That's right. So it's so much fun to share these treasures with people from local and out of town. A lot of people come to town and they've been to historic homes, and so they just, this is another one they want to see, and they are never disappointed. They really always enjoy it. It's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. I think historic homes are fascinating because they have so much history in them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And the Capon family living in that house all the years is another story in itself. And they do get a briefing on the family at the visitor center. The person who is working the desk usually does that, so they hear about Isaac Capon and his families and all of that. So then when you go to the house, you can see where they actually lived and put it all together. And it's really fun. And it's like I say, it's fun to share. It's even fun to work the tulip time shift because all these people come in and oh my gosh, this is wonderful. You know, and if they don't have time, they'll come back and see us later. So it's really great.
I always think about the Vina walking in the house when I'm there.
Yes. Yes. And Jacoba, the second wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I do talk to her sometimes.
Oh, really?
Me too.
So this is something that is good to get into because it gives you a change and it gives you an opportunity to expound on some of the other things about the family and so on.
Yes. And when I'm at the museum, then I have to cross promote. And so then I have a problem because I talk too much about the Capon House and the Settler's House. But, you know, and they all tie together with the history of Holland, which is what we, you know, try to share with people. So it works out well.
Doesn't it kind of remind you of sleeping in maybe on a ship or something like that, the Settler's House, because the sleeping conditions are pretty tiny.
That's a good point. It is amazing that the family lived in such a small place. But then the exhibit on the back wall in the back room, and you can see the list of all the families that lived. How many? I don't know how many there are.
I think about 15.
15 families lived in that little settler's house over the years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Oh, my gosh, it's so tiny. But, you know, that's what they did. That's how they lived.
Yeah. We should tell them they didn't all live there at the same
time. No, not at the same time, but over the, you know, there was a police officer? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fun to, I really love to compare the houses, just obviously with size, and then the materials that were used, and one was built for a family, one was built by the family, and then the Capon house just had one family that lived there, and the Settler's house had, you know, 15 families, so... And they're on the same block. They're, like, within a few houses of each other. It's amazing that we have that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But on a different economic plane.
Definitely. Yep.
Very much so.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're happy over there, Marcy.
I am very happy there, yes.
And if anyone who, because, again, we are actively recruiting right now for docents, so even if the historic house doesn't sound interesting, but the museum does, we will happily talk to you about, you know, docent opportunities at both sites. You can call the front desk and they can transfer you to me, or you can come in and we can talk about it. A great thing is, too, is if you are interested in becoming a docent, come into the museum and talk to one of the docents that are there, and they can tell you a little bit more about the experience and what they do. Training is really easy. Sometimes it seems a little intimidating because there's a lot of information, but we've had docents with us for more than 20 years, and they still come into my office and say, I just learned this new thing today. So it's not like you have to know every single thing that's ever happened in Holland's history. But we do actually have a new volunteer opportunity where if a docent position sounds a little intimidating, we have a new position where they're called gallery attendants and house attendants, and they kind of act a little bit like docents, but they're more there to answer basic questions and to kind of keep an eye on things. But it's a position that can be used as a stepping stone to a docent. So if you are interested in becoming a docent but kind of need to learn, you know, want to learn at a slower pace, or, you know, just don't have the time, that's also a position that's available too. So come on down and, you know, we'll gladly have you.
You can't be in a gallery very long before learning something about
exactly. That's it. You just can't help that. Yeah. You know, listening to other docents or talking with visitors, and I go in all the time and I always see something new because there's so many things that are in there. So I've been with the museum for 4 years now, and I keep walking in like, I don't remember seeing that. When did that? You know, so it's fun because, yeah, you're just constantly learning. It's great. Yeah.
Very good. All right.
Yep.
Well, all right. If you want to volunteer, they call the museum?
Yep, you can call the museum. It's 616-796-3329, and then they can transfer you to me, or you can just, you know, come in. The Capon House is currently closed for the season. But we do start training before we open. We do have education tours that we have in the spring and the fall, and that's another docent opportunity to give tours to grade school children. So we do have training going on even before the houses open. And tulip time is a great time to kind of get your feet wet with the whole thing, too. So that's always a fun thing because we have lots of volunteers and staff that help out. So if there's anyone out there that's kind of thinking that might be a fun thing, tulip time is always a good time to try things out. And if you come in and try it and it's not for you, that's okay. No commitment necessary, but we would love to have you. So
good.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And male or female doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. We do like to have docents that are usually above the age of 16. And we do have opportunities on the weekends for students.
Okay, I got a call here. Yes, good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yeah, just say it, Jude. 150 years old. Settler's house.
150 years old, isn't that something?
Yep.
Yeah. That should be the oldest house in town, I would think.
Yeah.
It's one of the oldest structures, and it actually survived the fire in 1871, so it's a really special house.
Yeah, so that's quite a milestone for Holland.
Definitely.
It is.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we thank you very much, Margie, for joining us
this
morning.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Giving us of your expertise on being a docent. And she can serve all over now, right?
Right.
Okay. Do we want to give away our tickets?
Sure. We have our trivia question. Today's trivia question is, what venue does Holland High play their home basketball games?
What venue does Holland High play their basketball game?
Their home basketball game.
Their home basketball game, yep. Yes. Yeah.
So if you get the trivia question...
The name of the building, is that right?
Yes.
That's what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll win 4 free guest passes to the museum, which can also be used at the historic houses.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyone know that? Give us a call at 395-1450, and you'll win those 4 passes to the museum. And you can use them anytime,
mm-hmm.
you or your family or whatever.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Let's. I think we have a call coming in. Good morning. You're on the line. What's your answer?
Is it the Civic Center?
The Civic Center.
It
no.
It is not the Civic Center.
You're wrong. I'm sorry. Thank you. All right. Anyone know the name of the building where they play the basketball games, the home basketball games? It used to be the Civic Center.
Yes. But not anymore.
They've taken it. In fact, way back when it used to be the Armory.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the line.
Oh, no.
Good morning. You're on the line.
Yeah, I think I know the answer.
What's the answer?
The Dutch Dome.
You got it.
You got that right. Okay. We need your name. We need your name so you can pick them up at the desk at the museum.
All right. My name is Art. Last name's Philippus. Philippus.
Okay. We got that name?
I think so.
We'll have your name at the desk. You can pick them up anytime.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
I knew someone would guess the Dutch Dome.
Yeah.
All right, so we got an answer. 395-1450 is our number if you have another question about for our guest this morning. We're going to talk about a few things here that cabin fever knitting. Who does that?
Yeah, that's
Wendy,
me.
Wendy, do you do that?
It is, yeah. So what we're doing this winter is we figured that families might be getting a little antsy with the kind of weather we've been having. So we wanted to have some time for kids to come in and to learn a new craft or skill. So the last Saturday of the month for January, February, and also in March, we are featuring different crafts from our collection, and we're having guests come in and teach kids how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is going to be knitting, and that's Saturday, January 25. And it's going to be from 10 to 12, and it's for kids 7 and up. And Friends of Wool from Washington Square, they're going to come down, and they are going to be teaching kids how to knit. And we're also going to be looking at some examples of knit items from the museum's collection, too. So it should be just a fun way for families to get out, even though they might not be playing outside in all of our cold, snowy weather.
But they can take their project home with them.
They can, yeah. So it's just $10 a child, and then the children need to bring their own set of size 8 or 9 needles and then one ball of worsted weight yarn. And then the instructors from Friends of Wool will teach the kids, and they can take what they make home with them. So it should be a really fun, fun time. We have 15 spots, so you definitely have to call in and make a reservation because we want to have those 15 spots filled up. And it's easy, just like with being a volunteer. You just have to call the main desk to register. We make it really easy. And that number, again, was 616-796-3329.
Have you been knitting for a while?
I have been knitting for a while, yeah. It's fun. It's fun. It's definitely something that you can do to keep you busy, and you can talk, you can watch TV. So it's a fun thing for kids to learn how to do. Especially, I don't know if you guys have seen these rainbow looms. I guess rainbow looms are more like crochet, but they're doing with rubber bands.
Mm.
So we're going a little more traditional than the rainbow loom.
Yeah. All right. And we got something else going on. That's block printing.
Yeah, that's going to be the second cabin fever, and that's in February. So February 22nd, that last Saturday, same time, that 10 to 12 time slot. And Culture Works, which is an after-school art program, they are going to be sending some instructors down to teach kids how to do block printing with linoleum blocks. And that goes with our new exhibit that's going to be opening up this weekend. So that should be fun, too. And again, it's 15 spots that we have available. And this one's a little bit more expensive because it includes all of your materials. So it's $20 a child, but includes everything. And then, again, the kids get to take home their finished product, their finished block. So it should be a lot of fun.
Okay. Got some good examples there at the...
We do. Yeah, Taylor, do you want to tell them a little bit about our new exhibit? Because that kind of helps make it a little.
Sure. We have a new exhibit that's opening to the public this Friday, and it's Dutch folklore, and it's lino cuts of Cornelia van Gunns, I think it's van Gunns. I always pronounce that wrong. She was an artist who was internationally renowned, and she traveled to West Michigan in 1941, and she appeared kind of all over West Michigan, including Grand Rapids and Muskegon and Kalamazoo, and then here in Holland. And she did different shows that included songs and storytelling about the Netherlands. And so she was raising money to help the Dutch during World War II, and she created these lino cuts. And they are all about kind of Dutch folklore. And this exhibition is really fun because this is kind of more of a family-centered exhibition. You don't have to, you know, have kids to enjoy it, but it's definitely an exhibition that a lot of children, I think, will enjoy. And there are a lot of stories that will be familiar, not just if you're Dutch, you know, and of the community, you'll find some because there, you know, in most cultures, we have a lot of similar stories. Like, mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, everyone has like a Cinderella story, or everyone has, you know, a Santa Claus, or, you know, in the Netherlands, it's Sinterklaas. So a lot of cultures can kind of see different stories within these stories themselves. And then we have a really cool section of five stories that we've kind of selected that we've created more of a hands-on kind of thing. So kids can come in and they can learn a little bit more about the story. So they can kind of create music, and they can kind of create other designs, and Wendy put those together. So it's a really fun exhibit that I think everyone really enjoys. So that's opening this Friday. And the Prince exhibit songs and legends and costumes, and they were actually the artist actually created them to raise additional funds to help with the war effort. So it kind of ties back to that. But they're really fun prints, and that will actually open this Friday and then runs for the springtime. And then that's the tie-in with our linoleum block printing.
Oh, very good.
Yeah,
very
so the kids will be able to go up and look at those block prints, and then they'll be able to go down and create their own block print
to
take home. Yeah.
Near perfection.
Yeah.
All right. 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to give us a call this morning. Let's take a moment out for a weather word here. And the weather word today is brought to you by The Wooden Shoe Restaurant, new winter feature, pineapple upside-down pancakes. And the weather word is for snow of up to an inch, developing this afternoon with a high of 34. And for tonight, windy with snow up to 3 inches possible with a low of 24. And then tomorrow, windy with periods of light snow and up to an inch possible. Steady temperatures in the mid-20s tomorrow, and Thursday, cloudy and windy with snow up to 2 inches possible. Well, you can see there's going to be an accumulation of snow possible. High should be about 31 on Wednesday, and right now we are looking at 26 degrees in the Tulip City. And we're talking about our local museum, and if you have any questions about it, give us a call, 395-1450. Our lights are open, and our phone line is open, okay? We have two people now talking about the local museum. Let's talk about the late night date night. What's that all about?
Well, we decided this year to try something a little bit different because normally the museum is only open until 5 o'clock, and not everybody can make it there during that time. So we decided that one day a week we're going to stay open later until 8 p.m. So the second Thursday of every month, we're going to be staying open until 8 p.m. so that if you can't make it during the day, if you work or if you work weekends or whatever the cause might be, you can still have access to the museum and its collection. We're trying to be as accessible as possible to people so that we can all enjoy this little gem we have here in Holland.
So you can't give us any excuses now about...
No,
that's right. No excuses to not come out.
When do we start this?
So we already had our first one in January.
Okay.
So the next one will be in February. And again, it's that second Thursday. It's the 9th, I believe, of February.
Okay. What's the program going to be?
So, and then on that same night, we're doing programs. So that's kind of date night. So you have to find a friend to come out to the museum. And February, we're going to be talking about ice boating, which a lot of people think that boating ends when the lake freezes over, but it doesn't. So Herb Pollock from... he's been involved with the West Michigan Ice Yacht Club, and he is going to come in, and he's going to kind of talk a little bit about the general history of the sport of ice boating, and he's going to talk about the presence of ice boating here on Lake Mack. The conditions have to be just right, so if you don't see ice boats every day, you're not going to. He's telling me that sometimes you can go, you know, a year or more without the conditions being right to have the ice boats out. Because as you can imagine, you probably don't want to be out there if the conditions aren't right.
No, you have to have the ice just right, and you have to have it, you know, so you can steer the ice boat, because mm-hmm. if you can't steer the ice boat, you're in trouble, too. And you have to watch out for the open water if there is any.
Yes.
And so it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, and he was saying that some of the ice boats can go like over 100 miles an hour.
They can. If you start at the west end with a good breeze,
mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the east end of the lake, you're going to be doing pretty good clip.
Yeah, so it should be something really fun and something that some people might not know about. And Herb's been doing it for a very long time, so he has personal photographs from when he was younger, and all sorts of things. My favorite one that he brought in was him with his ice boat broken down and packed on top of his car as he's getting ready to head out. So,
now there was a beautiful ice boat in the armory, stored in the armory. Is that still there?
That is not there, but that was Herb's.
really?
Yep, that was Herb's ice boat, correct.
Yeah, and I think he had it at the museum for a little while, and I think he just said he sold it and it went to Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of ice boating within Michigan and then in places like Wisconsin. I mean, pretty much anywhere where you can get a decent size lake frozen over. So it should be a great, great fun evening.
And if you start at the west end of the lake and come this way, you're going to get a good ride, and then you won't have time to look at the scenery either.
No. It seems like you have to be maybe a little bit of a daredevil to get into the sport of ice boating, as I've learned about it.
Yeah. I remember Fred Birch used to be Holland High School principal. When he was a young lad, he did a lot of ice boating on the lake,
mm-hmm.
and he told us about some of those stories in his book about ice boating on the lake with his brother. And they built an ice boat together and did a lot of fancy ice boating on Lake Mactoa.
Yeah, so this is kind of going to be our last boating talk for the boating exhibit. Because it was so popular, it has been extended through March 8th. So, you know, come in for that program. If you haven't seen the boating exhibit, you can see it that night on February 9th. And the programs, even though the museum is going to be open from 5 to 8, the program will start at 7 p.m.
Okay.
So just so that people know that. But yeah, so we'll have covered all the different kinds of boats that have been made and used in Holland through our lectures and with the exhibit. So it should be a lot of fun.
A history of boating.
Yes. Yep. And it keeps going. I think that hopefully we'll have some good conditions for ice boats to be out again this year.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible. I would like to see them out there, because it's always nice if you find an open place where you can look at the lake. You see those ice boats sailing across and
mm-hmm.
at high speeds, and people trying to keep them under control. It's great. It's great. It's one of our spotty sports, because you can't always be dependable on, can't always depend on good ice and
right.
and good conditions.
Yeah, and Herb was saying you can't have a lot of snow on the ice either. Otherwise,
no.
You can't steer them very well. So.
When I was a boy, we lived where we'd get to Luger's Crossing, and the ice would be, well, guys would get out there and shovel off the ice so they could skate and so on. But, after a while, we could drive on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us would get in we'd get in the back of a pickup truck, because I was too young to drive, but we'd ride out there on the ice and spin around, and it was a lot of fun. I don't think you can do that. I'm not sure you'd dare to do that today.
No, we were talking, Herb said that they used to just leave some ice boats at Cullen Park, and they would just leave them down there all winter.
Yeah.
And when the conditions were right, they'd take them out, but they just left them there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. At the foot of every street, it seems, there were some ice boats. Mm-hmm. There were some ice boat enthusiasts in the area.
Yeah.
At least, and they just leave them down there for the winter because it was a kind of a spotty sport.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun for most people. Mm-hmm. If they could get on them and go, go, go. All right. We have anything else this morning to talk about?
Oh, my goodness. Do we have anything else to talk about? Well, we've covered our
list. Let's talk about membership.
We could talk about membership. Yep. Membership is a great way to get involved with the museum. We have lots of wonderful benefits for our members. If you are a museum member, you can come in free any time to the museum that you want. It gets you also into the historic houses at any time. You also get invitations to member openings for all of our exhibitions. We have special discounts for a lot of our programs for members. We also have special members-only events. You get our newsletter that comes out quarterly. You get a discount in the museum gift shop, which is always nice, too. There's just a lot of really wonderful things. We do have different membership levels. So we have something already from a senior, or actually it starts with a student membership, which mm-hmm. is $15. So if you're a high school or college student, that's what, a few coffees, and you've got a free admission for the whole year. But there are individual memberships, there are memberships for seniors who, a couple family memberships, and it kind of works your way up. And some of the upper level memberships have different benefits to it as well. But for not a lot of money, you can support, the local museum, come learn anytime that you want to. You can take your friends and family in as well. A lot of the memberships do have that benefit, or guest passes that you get too. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of really wonderful things for your donation as a member mm-hmm. to support the museum. So it's a great way to get involved.
I think I'm a charter member.
I think you are. You've been a member for quite some time, I think. Yeah. Thank you for your membership.
Well, I thought it was important at the time to be a part of the community and see that it goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always fun because a lot of people don't realize, but we change our exhibits out. We have two rotating galleries, so we have about 5 different exhibits over the course
right.
of the year.
Right.
So it's changing all the time throughout the year, too.
And we've added what we're calling mini exhibits at the Capon House, and that changes every season. So this past year we had teacups, and this upcoming year are going to be hats. So that's a new thing. So if you've been to the Capon House and you think, oh, I've been there, I've seen it, you got to come back because we have new stuff
right.
in there, too. So,
hey, it looks like we're out of time. We thank you both so much for being our guests this morning here on our Talk of the Town program. And we'll see you again next month.
Thank you.